What a wonderful, wonderful way. Let me put these back here. What a wonderful way to spend a morning, right? Just here with people that you love, that love you back, that love God, and just worshiping Him and singing songs to Him and about God and praying. And you know, one of the things that that we talked about this morning briefly, my boys and I were over across the street at Morning Point, and we're singing some songs. And one of the songs that we sang, I know, it's 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. One of the things that we talked about was that it was written in 1880. One of my favorite songs. It's, as true today as it was when he wrote it. And, then we sang As the Deer Thirsts or Pants. And that was written, the words were written 4,500 years ago by David. And then someone in 1980 something put another tune to it and wrote, that was a psalm, and they made a song out of it. And and then Hayden sang a couple songs that are relatively new that nobody knew, but he sang them and they were beautiful and they blessed everyone that heard it. And but it's a wonderful thing to see the old and the new, and the songs that have been around and songs that are, and one of the things is we sing that Days of Elijah, and I was able to make eye contact with Lily and send her a message from that side of the room over to here, because when we sing that song at Winterfest, it's a whole different experience. For one, you got 6,000 kids singing it, and man, it's rocking and rolling. But when we say we lift our voice, and you just say, lift your voice, and everybody goes woo like that all together, and just because they're real excited about it, and it's just sort of that it's a kid thing, and so you kind of heard a little wooing going on. And I was saying, okay, well, as the younger blends with the older, I thought it would be a good idea if we didn't spring the woo on everybody just this morning. So I appreciate the restraint, and it's one thing that we'll have to ease them into the woo, but they'll get there, I promise. But no, it's it's so exciting to be to be a part of a church that people are thrilled about their relationship with God. I grew up in a church where it wasn't real thrilling all the time. It wasn't I didn't know if people were even still alive in there some of the time, but but not here, not at Highland Hills. Whether young or old, or experienced or inexperienced, mature in the Lord or babies, I love the fact that we express our excitement for our salvation together and in different ways, and accept one another where we are, and as thrilled as some are, and as it's just a great place to serve and to worship. And I'll say this and then I'll get on with the sermon part. Go ahead and turn to James 1, 20, 19 through 27 as we continue with our Google Earth view of James and looking at, specific, what day-to-day looks like. We're going to talk about being blessed by the Bible and being blessed by the Word of God. But, as we are, we're a family, and as a family, there's a whole lot of people doing their best to get along and a lot of different ideas and this sort of thing. We were presented this morning with an idea for putting a sign out front. And I know there's going to be some who think, well, we could do a lot of different things with that money. And they're right. And we could. But we could say that about anything. We could do a lot of different things with the money that we could have saved money and just sat on the floor instead of buying chairs, way back in the day. So there's a lot of good things that are going to come out of that if we decide to get behind that and support it. And, one of the things I couldn't help but think of as I was looking and, in Romans it talks about that God's wrath is something that's very real. And, and God's wrath is being revealed on those who are godless and those who are outside of Christ. But the very simple fact of the matter is that that God's wrath that everyone's afraid of and that everyone tries to avoid, and they try to avoid that so much by really not showing up in God's presence, because if I'm not in His presence, then I'm not gonna experience that wrath. But the simple fact is that 2,000 some odd years ago, all of that wrath was poured out on Jesus. It was emptied on our Savior. God's wrath was expressed on our Savior on the cross. And Thessalonians tells us, hey, we're not appointed to experience God's wrath. We're really not. Because His wrath is already poured out. God's anger at sin has already been expressed on Jesus. And you know what we could put out on that sign? Just one message. I already want to put, God's not mad at you. I just want to tell people that. Wouldn't you love to tell everybody that passes by here, hey, God's not as mad as you think He is. He's not mad. He got that all out of His system 2,000 years ago. So you are free to draw near to Him. And He will draw near to you. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's no reason to hide in the bushes. You know, there's no reason to hide when you hear the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. There is no reason to run from Him. I want to tell people that. Because God's not mad. He's not mad anymore. And all we have to do is just come close to Him. We need to tell people that. They can be blessed by the Bible. It's in there. If you look in James 1, 19 through 27, we read, "My dear brothers, take some note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for a man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." I've told you guys this before. This Bible was a Father's Day present. It's my preaching Bible. That's what we know. I ask my kids, hey, find where's my preaching Bible? This is the one they get me. It's all my notes are in it. It's all highlighted up. And it's my preaching Bible number 2, because the first one I had is falling apart and I rebound it and everything, and I'm trying to keep it, so I had to get a new one. Well, when they got me this for Father's Day 6 years ago, they went through and they picked out some scriptures that they knew I liked, and then they picked out some that were special to them regarding me. And this is one that, and they wrote them down on a little piece of paper, and I still have them in my office. And this is a scripture that I believe Hayden found and wrote down. He said, "This is a verse, Dad, that I really want you to remember. A man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." And he has his own reasons for wanting me to remember that. But at some point, I like the fact that my son is acquainted with the Word of God enough to use it on me, which is good. "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the Word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently at the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed by what he does." You see, that's what we want to get to, that verse right, you know, that part of this experience. We want to be truly blessed by this experience right here. Because honestly, if you think about it, when you think about reading the Bible, when you think about experiencing the Word of God, is I want to do this because it's going to bless me. That's probably not the first thing that comes into our mind. I mean, honestly, when we think about Bible study, we think about, well, I need to study the Bible because I need to know what to do, right? I need to know how to please God. I need to know how to be more like Christ. I need to, you know, I need to have more of the Scripture in me so that I will be prepared to give an account for the hope that I have and all those things, right? But when we think about it, being blessed on a daily, minute-by-minute basis, about having that blessed life. And that word blessed, you know, it has this happiness connotation to it. You know, blessed is he who this, and remember the Beatitudes, you know, the poor in spirit, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You know, you can accurately translate that word blessed as happy in a lot of situations. And so, you know, he will be happy in what he does. He will have a blessed life. When we think about studying Scripture, when we think about taking in the Bible, do we do it because we believe with all of our heart that it will truly make us happy? That it will truly bless us? Well, see, James tells us that when we do this, that we will, when we experience the Word of God, we will be blessed in all that we do. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts is pure and it's faultless in this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This morning, we're going to look at how to be blessed, how to be made happy, how to be encouraged and built up and have our life completely and totally enriched by this biblical, Bible, scriptural experience that we are called to. And not just not just understanding it as I need to read this because I need to be reminded of what to do. I need to be reminded of the promises. I need to be reminded of all the rules to keep and all of those things. Very important things that the Bible does for us. However, over all of that, we are given the Word of God so that we will be blessed by it. So that we will be made happy by it. So that we will experience the joy that is due us, the joy that is so Christ-like. The first thing, if we're going to be blessed, the Bible tells us, James tells us in this, as we zoom in to this passage, if we're going to be blessed by it, the first thing we must do is, that should be an I and not a one, I must receive God's Word. I want you to look in verse 19 if you're looking, you know, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to become angry. A man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Actually, and keep on going through 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil and humbly accept the word planted in you. If you take notes or if you circle anything or highlight, circle that word accept. Humbly accept the word. That's a hospitable term. It's a term of hospitality, and it could actually be even more, in my opinion, accurately translated as welcome the word of God. Humbly welcome the word. Receive it. It's kind of this, you know, he goes on to talk about humbly accept, welcome, be hospitable to the word that is planted in you. You know, this idea of the word of God being a seed is not new here in James. You know, one of the first times we see it in Scripture is in Matthew chapter 13. The very first parable that Matthew records. What does he say? The word of God is like a man going out to sow seed. And he takes his seed and he throws it everywhere. And the seed lands on this guy and it lands on that guy. And this soil and that soil. And all of these different soil types represent hearts that experience the word of God. Some people get nothing out of experiencing the word of God. And on the other end of that, some people get everything out of experiencing the word of God. What's the difference? One soil, one heart, one person is prepared to welcome it, to receive it, to be hospitable towards it. You know, it's one thing to read it, to look at the word and think, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, I've got this sin in my life and, you know, and it just, and I know God's going to be all over that. And I know it's in there. And I know, oh, he says to be nice to people. He says to, you know, he says, I got to give. I mean, am I the only one who's ever had that attitude? You know, so much more, you know, there's so much more that I could do with this money. There's so much more that I could do with my time. There's so much more that is that a welcoming attitude to the Word of God? He's saying, look, if we want to be blessed by this, welcome it. Be hospitable towards it. You know, if you want to get anything out of it, then your life, your heart, your attitude has got to be prepared for it. It's got to be a welcoming, hospitable environment for the Word of God, for the seed, or it's never going to grow. It's never going to produce all of the things that it's going to that it needs to produce. So we have to have an attitude of receiving it, humbly accepting it and welcoming it. And he goes on to talk about if you want to have this good reception, if you want to receive it humbly and you want it to do what it's designed to do, then there's a couple of attitudes that we need to understand. The first one is we have to have a careful attitude about it. He says, look, be quick to listen and slow to speak, you know, slow to become angry. You know, one of the things that you know, we need to hear and receive and understand, experience the Word, experience our, you know, this Christian life and be careful about it. You know, we need to have a you know, instead of just always having something to say about it or always having, something to, a way to respond, just have this careful attitude when it comes to receiving the Word. Don't always, think that we know what it's talking about. Not always think that we already got that one covered. You know, one of the things that I love about going to the seminars that I get to go to, and I missed going to Austin this year to the sermon seminar, but hopefully I won't next year, but is that I hear such thoughtful lessons, and I get to study with men who and women who are so far beyond my scriptural and theological intellect that I can't even fathom how brilliant these people are and how thoughtful they are. And the interesting thing about this is I listen to these lessons, and Vic was with me there last year, and you know, a lot of times we both walked out together like, it was the smartest thing I've ever heard. Just absolutely unbelievably smart. And it's scriptures that I've read a billion times. Some of them I even preached. And when I left there, I thought, I need to repent for the ridiculous sermons I preached on that scripture right there. I've preached to such an anemic, ridiculously elementary sermon on this one's passage. And this guy gets in there, and as soon as I see the docket and I look and he's going to talk about Matthew 13. Oh, man, I got that. And then I go in there and I'm thinking, I had no idea. I had no idea what it was about. And see, that's one of the things that he's saying is, look, you might have heard this 100 times. You might have this down pat, but if you really want to be blessed, don't gloss over it like I've already got this down. Be careful about it. Be quick to listen. And then not only be careful, be calm. He says, slow to become angry. Don't overreact. You know, if we're going to be blessed by Scripture, we're going to, just don't always react all the time. Sometimes maybe carefully in time and prayer respond to things. It says, look, you got to, you know, have a calm. If you want to receive the Word, have a careful and calm. And then he goes on to talk about have a clean attitude. In verse 21, get all of the weeds out. He says, look, rid all of yourself. Get rid of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent. It says, look, if you want to receive the Word, then there's some preparing of your heart, preparing of your ground. If you're going to plant this, you know, get the weeds, get the rocks, get the thorns, the bushes, the branches, all that stuff. Clear the way so that this seed, this Word of God's got plenty of room to grow. And you not only be clean, but be compliant. He says, look, do what it says. Humbly accept the Word. Let it grow. Let it take over. I mean, just let the Word just take over everything. Be compliant. So first thing we got to do is receive the Word. If we want to be blessed, the next thing we've got to do is reflect on the Word. He goes on to say in 22 through 25, talking about this idea of reflecting on it. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks in the face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You know, this is something that I think at times we all struggle with. We can read it. And we can, you know, we can accept it intellectually. We can, you know, have this intellectual assent to what the Bible says. But do we reflect on it? Do we take it home and you know, ruminate over this and just, you know, chew on it and consider it and just, you know, meditate on it? That's the idea that Paul or that David is talking about in Psalms 119 and about verse 47. He says, "On your law I meditate every night." Not only, if we want to be blessed by this, do we read it? Not only do we read it and look intently, he says, look, you know, do not merely listen to the word and so you deceive anyone who listens. He says, but, you know, look intently at the law. The man, you know, in verse 25, the man who looks intently into the perfect law. This is a word, it's an idea that research is going on here. But the man who researches what he's reading and reflects on it, and you know, not only am I reading this passage, but you know, I'm going to look up where it talks about this very same thing in other places, and I'm going to research this and see what the Word of God has to say in other places about what I'm reading about. You see, there's this idea of researching it and just doing more than just reading, and then there's reviewing it. You know, not only do we reflect on the Word by reading it, but we review it again in Psalm 119 and 97. He says, I meditate on your law. I meditate on your Word. He said, the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do so. And continues to do so. See, I have a hard time with this a lot. And you know, whenever I read, you know, I try to read a lot, and I read these books, these doctrinal, you know, book, whether it's C.S. Lewis or, you know, Tozer or whoever, and they, you know, and they give their spiel on stuff, and then ever so often they'll quote a scripture. And sometimes it's a pretty big block of scripture that they'll, you know, they'll be talking about love or forgiveness or grace or mercy and blah, 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 blah. And then they've got and by the way, in, you know, Hebrews chapter this, it talks about, and so they'll quote it. You know what I find myself doing so often? I'm embarrassed to even say this. Because I'm familiar with passages, and I'll read what these guys have to say, they'll have the quote, I'll know generally what that's about, and I'll just skim over the scripture part of it. I'll just skim over. I have to say that out loud, and I'm going to repent of that, and I have, and I've realized that in the last few weeks. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's what you skim over? Because I think I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar enough with the idea of what this passage says that I'll skim over that and get to the stuff I haven't read. Is that so ridiculous? So look, you got to continue. I don't care how familiar you are with this stuff, Shane. Continue to do so. That's how we get so many of these priceless morsels of the Word of God that just sometimes fall out 10 years after we're familiar with a passage, and we keep continuing to go back and we see, how could I have missed that? How could I have missed that? If we continue to go, continue to review it, that's what meditating on it day and night. And then remember it. Not only read and review, but remember it. Make an activity. Make make it a purposeful event in your scriptural and biblical life to memorize scripture. One of the things that makes HHDD one of my favorite programs that we do here in the summertime is that not only does it get the kids together and they have a lot of fun and they sing and do service projects and all of those sort of things, but they memorize scripture. That's one of the cornerstones of that is scripture memorization. Make it a point. You know, as adults, we still need to have memory verses every week. Are we working on any memory verses? Are there any scriptures that you just pick out and say, you know what? I'm going to memorize these 2-3 verses this week. That's what I'm doing so that on purpose I can remember it. Because he says, look, otherwise, just like somebody who looks at himself in the mirror and immediately forgets what we look like. And that's not just what he's saying there. It's not just, you know, we act like we forget. He's saying we actually forget. We actually forget. Now, he's using a hyperbole here, kind of like when Jesus says, look, if your hand offends you, cut it off. He's not expecting us to actually cut our hand off or gouge our eyes out, but he's using a hyperbole because no one's ever going to forget what they look like. But we do so often forget Scripture because we don't make a point to remember it. We don't make a point to memorize it. Last thing, I must respond to God's Word. If I'm going to be made happy, if I'm going to be blessed by the Word of God, not only do I, not only am I to receive it, not only am I to, let me go back to number two, somebody help me out. Not only I to reflect on it, but to respond to it. Receive, reflect, and respond. You got to ask yourselves, am I a doer of the Word? Go back to the idea of looking in a mirror. Think about what happens when you look in a mirror. Nobody hardly ever looks in a mirror. Now, we might glance and go on, but if you go to a mirror and you look in it, what are you going to do? You're going to make an adjustment, aren't you? I mean, it might be as little. You know, we're going to fix something. Here's one for you. My wife and now Cindy, they both have comments about this because I put my hands in my hair so much, and it's just I never knew that until they mentioned it. But I've been preaching a long time. But there, you like that? Now, if I look in a mirror right now, am I going to leave that there? Vic would say, "Well, probably." I mean. No, I don't even know how it looks right now, but I'll be honest, I don't really care. But if I look in the mirror, I'm going to give it one of these, aren't I? My hair's all messed up, got something on my face, whatever. A lot of times we go to that mirror because we know something's wrong. We know something. I got something in my eye where I can feel, a piece of chicken wing on my face, whatever it is. I just got through having ribs. I go to the bathroom to wash my hands. I'm over at Ming's having the crab claw things. And you got it all over you. You go in there and you wash your hands, you look in the mirror, do I got any on my face? Sometimes we go to that mirror so that, because we know there's an adjustment that needs to be made. We know there's something that's got, something's not right here. I feel all out of sorts. I know I got something here. My hair's a mess. And so I go to that mirror. Now, how ridiculous would it be when we go there and hair's all crazy and barbecue sauce is everywhere and we look and look and look and say, you know what? I'm good. I'm not going to adjust any of this. I'm just going to stay the same. James says, you know what, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be made happy by the Word, then become a doer of it. He says, look, and then he goes on to these things. He says, if anyone considers himself this, he gives us some examples, a controlled mouth. Here's some ways to see, am I a doer? Am I making adjustments? When I look into this mirror, do I change? Do I make the adjustments that the Word of God shows me that I am called to make? Do I have a controlled mouth? Do I have a caring heart? He says, look after people. He talks about specifically, orphans and widows and in their distress. But, it's not, and so many people are going to lock onto that and say, these are the only two people we can help. Well, let me tell you, he's saying, look, in this day, though, that was the lion's share of those who needed help. And now, in this day, there might be orphans and widows, but maybe not so many. But do we just take care of people? Do we care for people? And let me tell you something else. Be a doer of the Word. Tell people that you're caring for people. Let other people know. Challenge them. I have I'm just going to tell you this, a wonderful brother in Christ who, when I grow up, I want to be just like this guy, Mark Osborne. About a week or so ago, he told me there's a guy that walks down the street. He's carrying big old bags of Walmart groceries, just walking. Mark sees him. It's hot. I think it was hot outside that day, and he pulled over. Hey, come get in the car. I'm going to take you home. Guy jumps in, picked him up somewhere on this road, didn't you? On King, right here in front of the church. Where you see somebody walking in front of the church, you better pick them up. I mean, come on. picks him up. You know where he drove him? Way past Cobb Road out on going towards Manchester. Guy walks all the time. He's hard to understand. You know, he's got some issues, and, you know, and Mark's thinking, well, why don't you just go down here to Bob's Food Lane? Well, they got cheap groceries at Walmart. So he walked to Walmart. Mark told me that. And I've come to expect it from Mark. This is how he rolls. It's what he does. He's told, for that story, I've got five more I could tell you, other people. Guess what, Wednesday night, my wife and kid, daughters have been gone for 4 days. I can't wait to see them, missing them. Wednesday night, if anybody noticed, me and the boys were out of here like a shot. I couldn't wait to get home to see my girls that just got home. And it started storming, raining. Right down here, right across from Denny Crabtree's house, I see that guy walking. Walmart, McDonald's bags, pouring down rain. Got the boys in my truck. I see him. I was going to pull over. The traffic was coming. I thought, oh, I can't make that turn. I thought, oh, okay. Well, I'm just going to get home. I get about 300 yards down the road, and I got Mark in my ear. And I got God in the other. That's what you're going to do? That's what you're going to do? Now, I know better than to leave somebody stranded. But let me tell you something. You know what helps me be a doer of the word? Hearing about other doers. Hearing about other doers. Now, you know what Satan will tell us? Oh, don't brag about the things you do in the Lord. Satan's going to lie to you and tell you, oh, it's real humble. Don't let anybody know. Da, da, da. You know why he doesn't want anybody to know? Because he doesn't want anybody to be like that. Are we taking care of people? Do we have this caring heart? Hayden, climb in the back seat. Huey, right there. Pick him up. Drive him over there. Just, you know, I was late getting home to see my wife. But you know what? I want to be a doer of the word, guys. I do. It's not easy. I tried to talk myself out of it. I'll be honest with you. I'm as flawed and as broken and as selfish and self-centered as anyone. And I will talk myself out of it. But I do. I want to be a doer of the word. I want to take care of people. I don't want my mouth to run amok. And he says, have a clean mind. He says, look, you know, don't get polluted by the world. He says, look, you know, look after people and keep yourself from being polluted by the world. You want to be blessed. Then joyfully welcome, preparedly welcome the Word of God. Reflect on the Word of God. And then be a doer. Make the adjustments. And they're not easy. And they're not fun all the time. I would love to go to that mirror and say, hey, you know, like Fonzie. Remember that in Happy Days? He goes to the mirror. He takes out his comb and he goes to comb. He's like, hey, I mean, how do you fix that? I would, you know, we think, but, you know, sometimes there's these difficult adjustments. I would love to have no adjustments to make, but it doesn't take long to realize, ooh, that guy needs to spend a lot of time in front of many mirrors making all kinds of adjustments. This week, let's be doers. Let's respond. Let's make a change. Make an adjustment. Let's be blessed by the Word of God. There's needs. There are needs in this building, that we could not list if we had all day to list. Whatever your need is, if you need to respond to the joy of salvation and confess Christ and be baptized and have your sins washed away so that you can then start that life of being blessed by the Word of God and be a doer. Make that happen. If you need to just be prayed with or prayed for or just be loved on so that you know other people care as much about you as God does and want to encourage you in your life of responding to the Bible. Whatever your need is, would you let us know as together we stand and as we sing.